Now I invite you to please pray with me. Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Bring conviction to our hearts through your word and initiate healing and transformation in our lives. All for the glory of your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to invite you to open your pew Bibles and turn to our gospel reading from Luke chapter 13. It's on page 873 in your pew Bibles or in your own Bibles. It's Luke chapter 13, beginning with verse 22. That's where we're going to start this morning as we take a look at the narrow way. Now, when Kim and I were first married, money was pretty tight. So I sought to repair everything I could on my own to save money. I didn't learn a lot about repair from my dad, so I kind of learned by trial and a whole lot of error. Regarding our car, I always did change our own oil, but one day I decided I was going to change the front brakes on our 1984 Cavalier. I'd never done a brake job, but I was told by my friend Joe, who's a master mechanic, you know, it's pretty simple. Joe told me to call him with any questions or problems. It's straightforward, Bill. You'll figure it out. So I worked in our garage, slowly and meticulously began taking them apart on one side of the car. And I lined up the parts on the floor so I could put them back together in the right order. But as I removed them, it got harder and harder. I became anxious and fearful because it wasn't easy, as Joe said. And then I got more anxious and more frustrated. An hour in, I was still struggling, barely had any parts in front of me. My knuckles were bleeding, and I had the thought, I should probably call Joe. Well, Joe said it would be easy. No, I'm not going to call him. I just need to keep working. So 2 hours later, I'm now 3 hours into the first side of the car. I got everything apart, and after replacing the pads, I reassembled them in order, and I had 4 parts left over. Now, I was over 3 hours into the job, and I knew at this point, I'm calling Joe. Well, he started by suggesting that I take them apart and start over, and I yelled at him, no, I'm not, why, it's going to take forever. Don't you know how long this has taken? And he said, Bill, how are you taking them apart? Aren't you just removing the spring and lifting them off? I did that next, and it was much easier. I removed the spring. They came right off intact. I didn't have to take them all apart on there. All I had to do was humble myself and call Joe. But I was too proud. Even though Joe said he'd be available to me, I was embarrassed. I wanted to do it without any help. And this story relates to our theme today of the narrow way. In our gospel reading, Jesus is asked a question. Will those who are saved be few? And Jesus answers, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Now, Jesus is recorded to have delivered this same message in a variety of ways through the Gospels. In Matthew 7, Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. And then a little later in Matthew 7, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus is clear in this passage from Luke. His followers are to enter the kingdom through his narrow door. Not the easy door, not the obvious door, not the comfortable door, not the door that we want to go through or that we would choose, but his door, the door provided by the Lord. Jesus declares many will knock at the door once it's closed. They'll claim to know Jesus, claim to have been with Jesus. They will claim to do powerful things in Jesus' name. And Jesus says, his reply will be, I don't know where you come from. Depart from me. He's speaking to Jewish listeners. And he says the Lord will not recognize them apart from Jesus, which explains all of the weeping and gnashing outside of the door. They expected to be acknowledged. This is a serious message from Jesus with eternal ramifications. Many will think they know Jesus, think they have salvation in his name, but they'll be mistaken. They had it wrong. They never knew Jesus, and Jesus never knew them. According to Jesus, many will think they are on the narrow way. But in fact, seeking God's kingdom, they're on the wrong way, following the ways of the kingdom of this world. So where are you? Have you entered the kingdom of God through Jesus' narrow way? Or are you still on the outside, either seeking God the wrong way or perhaps not seeking God at all? The good news, the gospel in Jesus Christ, is that one does not and cannot earn their way. It's not about being good enough. It's a gift. It's purchased for every man and woman and child by Jesus Christ. The narrow way is to accept the gift of life offered by Jesus, by believing in him and following him. If this morning you're aware that you're outside the kingdom of God, or if you're not sure if you're in or out, I hope you will not be comfortable where you are, not being clear, or being clear you're on the outside. I hope you will think on these things in the upcoming days, and if I can be of assistance, I've said this before, I will buy the coffee. Let's grab coffee. But you have to call me. I can't read your mind. Let's grab coffee to talk. We heard Paul's words to the first century church in Philippi this morning. For many still walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame with their minds set on earthly things, on earthly ways. My prayer for those of you who may be on the outside is that you will not rest, that you will not have any peace until you are on Jesus' narrow way and do, in fact, possess the new life that you're offered in Jesus' name. Now, for those of you who are on the narrow way, who have faith in Jesus' name, who by faith in Jesus' name have received new life now and the promise of eternal life after death, let's talk about this narrow way. Remember my opening story. During my struggle to disassemble my car's brakes, I had the thought, you know, maybe I should call Joe. But I wanted to do it my way instead. I was too anxious and too embarrassed and too proud. I want to discuss one aspect of Jesus' narrow way. There are many aspects to the narrow way. But I want to discuss the narrow way of trust and dependence. And I want to use Psalm 27. So if you have your pew Bibles open, turn to page 460 now. If not, please turn to page 460, Psalm 27, so you can follow along. We're going to be going verse by verse, so there won't be slides. Psalm 27, page 460. In our modern world of self-actualization, I can do it. I can be or do anything. Self-reliance is king. Trust and dependence are seen as weakness. Asking for guidance or help is anathema. Now, Jesus knew God's word in the Old Testament, as recorded in the Hebrew Scriptures. Jesus, as a faithful Jew, knew God's word, and he would have known the Psalms, so much so that we can know he would have been familiar with our psalm this morning, the guidance provided in Psalm 27. Verses 2 and 3 paint a picture that the psalmist is in trouble. Verse 2, when evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it's they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. There's war, armies, and enemies all around. And yet fear and anxiety are not where the psalmist begins. Look at verse 1 which states his position. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Why should I be anxious? With all of that chaos surrounding him, he declares, I will not fear because of who my God is. Not because of what he's going to do, but because of who his God is. Then we read verse 4, which begins, one thing I've asked of the Lord, that I will seek after. Well, what do you expect the psalmist to ask from the Lord with armies and enemies all around? What would you ask for? Get rid of these armies. Free me from this war. Help with this problem. To remove the threat. What's the psalmist do? One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. He desires to be in God's presence and worship even with the danger around him. Now, gaze here isn't a glimpse. It's sustained focus on the Lord. A lasting point of focus. No matter what the trouble, the distractions, the temptations, he chooses to fix his focus on the Lord, not on the trouble. Now, that's not what I expected. I would naturally ask for God for an answer or a solution or fix this. I wouldn't just look to him. It's not the natural choice. While I flail about in anxiety and fear trying to fix, picture me beside my car with all those parts. That's the obvious way to go, to keep trying, getting more and more anxious, more and more fearful. The psalmist describes this narrow way. With God as my foundation, whom or what shall I fear? And then the psalmist says why the narrow way of trust and dependence is best. Verse 5. For he, the Lord, will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody in the midst of the trouble. There's a peace present with the psalmist. The peace that passes all understanding. Promise. The promise here is no matter what, those who follow God's narrow way will have his peace and his joy no matter what the storm. In the midst of trouble, verse 5 says, the Lord will hide me. The Lord will conceal me. He will lift me up so I will be joyful. And that's good news. Back to my car repair. I was anxious and fearful as I could not figure it out. I became angry that it wasn't going the way I wanted it to, that it was taking too long. I had a picture, and it wasn't that picture at all. I struggled in fear, anger, and frustration all the while. The answer before me was easy. Admit my weakness. Call for help. Look to the master, who in that case was Joe. All I had to do was call Joe, who said he'd have his phone handy. When I did, I got help. My fear was removed, and then I had peace again. And I didn't do the other side. I let Joe do it. In Psalm 27, the author takes action in the midst of trouble by not doing something, but by declaring who his God is, declaring his dependence and trust in God, asking for God's presence and peace. Putting himself in God's presence in worship, seeking his face. All actions declare dependence, and it's not what this world instructs we should be doing when we feel we're in trouble. All his actions point to God, not his ability. And those actions, we read, lead to peace. Look at verse 13. In the midst of all of this, the psalmist writes, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe I will have God's peace and goodness in the land of the living, in the midst of my life. He doesn't fix. He trusts and looks to God first. Now, Jesus would have known this narrow way, and he modeled it through his life, and he proclaimed it. Believe in me, and you have eternal life. Look to me. Follow me, and you will have new life now and eternal life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Trust in me, and I will be with you. With that kind of faith, Jesus is always with you, no matter what the trouble. In the storm, he's with you in the boat. Picture the disciples when they were drowning and Jesus is in the back of the boat. They're anxious, they're fearful, but Jesus says, oh, you of little faith, I'm right here. When you feel you're drowning, the water's cascading over your head, you can look back and say, but the Lord is with me. Give me your peace and guide me. Choose first to look to him, and he will give you his peace and his joy, even in the midst of the storm. Now, Lent is a season of retuning our attention to the Lord. Following this theme of trust and dependence, I want to challenge you this week in small increments to live this way, the narrow way of trust and dependence. Each day as you feel your anxiety and fear rise up, we all have anxiety and fear. You may have it right when you wake up. It may not hit you until shortly or may be with you all day. Instead of succumbing to the fear, flailing about to fix, letting the anxiety overcome you, choose first to recall this message of Psalm 27. If you have a Bible on your phone, look it up. Perhaps memorize that first part. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Of what shall I be afraid? Fix your eyes on the Lord and declare, you are my light, you are my protector, you are my fortress. Lord, I don't have to fear because you will protect me. Declare this promise. You are with me, so I fix my focus on you. And I choose to trust and depend and wait for you before I do anything. Speak to the anxiety. If I had done that in my garage, as I began to be fearful and anxious with the car repair, if I had paused and said, okay, Lord, I'm undone right now. Please give me your peace. I know this isn't the end of the world. Guide me. What do I do next? I believe I probably would have sensed something to the effect of, would you call Joe? Well, actually, I believe I would have first heard God's and sensed God's love and care for me. He would have reminded me of who I was as his child. Bill, calm down. This isn't the end of the world. It's not the end of the world that you're incompetent as a car mechanic. That's okay. Trust in me. Even in your incompetence, take a breath. I am your stronghold, not your ability. Don't take the bait of the enemy and give in to fear and anger and frustration, because that's what we do. The enemy wants us all wound up. Don't take the bait, the Lord would say, I believe. Trust in me. Take a breath. Let me lift up your head. You think there's anyone you can call for help? The narrow way is not the obvious way. It's not the comfortable way. It's not the way the world esteems. It's not necessarily the way that will make you look good. But it is the narrow way of new life now and eternal life later. It's the new narrow way of God's peace and God's joy in the midst of trouble. And it's all accessible only through Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.